The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. Whole lot of sexy up in here, Dom, I'm telling you.
Happy hump day, Crudy. Fritz working hard on the board. Thank you, sir. Our fair audience, thanks for tuning in to the political party. And always join us, 844-967-2789.
Dom, I think the only way I could possibly look better is if I, like, completely wrapped myself in an American flag shirt.
The most gaudy American flag shirt you can possibly find. The gaudier, the better, the more of a patriot you are, Crudy.
Does Kohl's carry the gaudy American flag shirt, or you got to go to Amazon for those?
You know what? I've seen some screenshots of Amazon flag shirts.
You know, it's interesting because last night I was, you know, daydreaming a bit, doing a little of the social media scrolling, as sometimes you do. And Scott Walker popped into my screen.
Why?
Apparently, I've told you for some number of years, he is a frequent visitor to my screen. And apparently, I must click through with enough frequency that, you know, they've algorithmed me to Scott Walker in some way, shape, or form. I'm connected to the wanker. So, anyways, last night, I see him put up his picture alongside the picture of Donald Trump. And I've never seen a man make Trump look better looking, like more handsome. But by comparison, I mean, look at Scott Walker. That is the worst looking guy from the bowling league. He is wearing what looks like, I mean, Trump's wearing his traditional, his, you know, his suit and his red tie, blue suit, red tie, white shirt, and a little lapel pin, you know, bronzer, a lot of hairspray, but, you know, looking the part. And then there's the wankinator, and he's self-posting this. I mean, he's self-owning on the social medias with this picture. He found himself in public wearing an American flag shirt and some khakis. The khakis, definitely Kohl's brand. You can tell that's got Tonette all over it. No pleats. No pleats on the khakis. Because Scott doesn't need pleats. Those are for fancy folk. I'm more of a American. I don't need pleats in my khakis.
Wasn't this the same shirt that he was wearing when Trump was in town?
I suspect it is.
Some photos of, you know, of Trump. You can see Walker in the first few rows.
Trump rally in Racine.
He was very evident. By the huge, glowing, bright bald spot on the back of his head.
Well, if you'd have seen him in his full regalia that day, Dom, the wanker was wearing an American flag. And here is my theory. My theory is this. We've all seen Donald Trump hump that flag. I think Scott Walker wanted some of that action.
Give me some love and baby.
He was dressing sexy for the man. Trying to turn him on. And, you know, the fact that he's out there, didn't Scott Walker get out of the race? I believe the date was like September 21st of 2015, the year before, right? Didn't even make it to the Iowa caucuses. Let's put it that way.
He burned through a lot of money.
a lot of money, ended the campaign in debt, and dropped out of the race and said, you know, I'm doing this so a more conservative candidate can galvanize the Republican Party. And presumably, he didn't say the man's name, but beat Trump. Beat Trump. I'm getting out, and I hope a few others of you do, so that we can beat Trump. And now he's posting on these social medias, on the Facebook, making Zuckerberg happy. And Zuckerberg's attached us through some sort of Faustian algorithm. And yeah. And he's wearing the god-awfulest shirt of all time. I thought to myself immediately, A, you buy that shirt, you get a bowl of soup and a sparkler. Yeah. And a sparkler.
Oh, and a sparkler. Let's recall, if we can go in the Wayback Machine, and remember what the former governor of Wisconsin said. Today, I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping to clear the race so that a positive conservative message can rise to the top of the field. With that in mind, I will suspend my campaign immediately. I encourage other Republican presidential candidates to consider doing the same so voters can focus on a limited number of candidates who can offer a positive conservative alternative to the current front runner. This is fundamentally important to the future of the party and ultimately to the future of our country. Now, he was prescient in some regard because, yeah, Trump rolled that entire party, including Scott Walker. And we've seen the wake of destruction from then, and we've seen the Republican Party morph, get beaten into submission, and is now the mega party.
And you could say Scott Walker, indeed, he backed down.
He backed down. And now, right, so he was critical before, and now he is all in, red, white, and blue flag shirt from Amazon, sitting with the orange messiah.
He said he was honored to lead the effort to elect Trump here in the state of Wisconsin and, you know, worldwide, nationwide.
Weird how these feelings and these thoughts change over time.
And he honored the man by wearing an American flag bowling shirt to take a picture next to him, because he might uniquely be the only man that somehow makes Donald Trump look a little more handsome. You know, just by comparison, though. I want to start there today. Completely unimportant, but
totally unimportant.
I just wanted to Walker bash. I just thought it'd make me feel better today. I just needed a little spirit lifting, because
yes.
If you're going to self-own and give me this sort of fodder wanker, you can bet I'm going to repost. It's out there on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page and
at Devil Radio.
A rarity, Dom. I tweeted it out as well.
That's what I'm saying, man. I didn't know you knew how to tweet, Curdy. Congratulations.
On a limited basis.
Only for the very important messages that you want to get out to all our friends.
And if it's something upsetting, then, you know, tweet sent by staff. That'd be you, your staff.
I'm staff.
So, Dom, where's the local lead today? You know, the RNC is coming to your town. I told you, if you want to talk about the Nazi show coming to town, there's all sorts of articles.
I don't want to talk about the Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Here's an interesting point. Can I make a point?
And sure, go ahead.
Why not, right?
I mean,
I'm going to do it anyway, so you might as well let me. Might as well pretend like you wanted to wear that flag shirt and Tonette didn't make you.
You need to wear that. Did Tonette, like, watch him put that on? Did he get on? Is it tucked in, too? I want to make sure. Is it
absolutely tucked in. I see belt. Yeah. And the funniest part is, you know, the no pleats on the, you know, what are those?
Khakis.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the worst look for a man. Like the, you know, like where they're just a little too small and it's all, like, it's all being stretched across. And it's not like there's a bulge there or anything, but, you know, it's still not a good look for you, wanker. With the American flag bowling shirt tucked in, brown belt, dumbass smile, and somehow.
Looked in the mirror that day and said, I'm going to meet the president today.
You know what's interesting?
I'm looking good, baby. I'm looking hot.
The Trump there almost looks like a wax figure.
And that looks like a cardboard cutout.
It almost does. Maybe they didn't actually let him stand next to Trump. Maybe they've got like a mannequin Trump. And That's why he didn't get his shirt humping, Dom, because they couldn't let Trump too near him. They knew what would happen.
Tick-tacking up and everything.
Here's the other point I wanted to make. Who was the Scott Walker of the 2024 elective cycle? Who did we decide? I know it's been like since February when the guy dropped out, but who was the Scott Walker of this race?
I could slow brain it, man.
Governor of Florida. Ron DeSanctimonious, right? DeSantis. And Nikki Haley was the last non-Trump candidate standing in the presidential field. And I see it as an interesting point, and the Ross story certainly did. Ex-GOP rising star denied convention speaking slot after challenging Trump. DeSantis?
Well, the good news is DeSantis, you can go outside, then they have the free speech zones or the protest zones, and you can talk all you want.
Well, he is going to be at the breakfast with his own state contingent in Florida. I guess he was invited to speak to the Florida contingent. But this just kind of tells you he ain't going to be the VP, is he? Here's a little bit more. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who was once dubbed the future of Republican politics by the New York Post. Isn't that what they said about Scott Walker once upon a time? Is being shut out of the speaking spot at the 2024 Republican National Convention. Now, Wanker got to speak in 2016. Wanker got a stage spot, I'm pretty damn sure. And a very depressing party. We were there. We crashed it.
It was not good.
It was not. The USA Today reporting that current plans are for DeSantis to be only on the periphery of the convention, as he is scheduled to participate in a Moms for Liberty panel discussion. Is that a throuple? Right.
Threesomes, baby. Let's get it on.
And a breakfast with his state delegation. This is
Moms for Liberty.
Quite a come down for DeSantis, the culture-warring governor who is lauded for his policy chops by many right-wing publications, such as the National Review. I always knew. Ron DeSantis, you, sir, were the Scott Walker of the 2024 campaign. Just put on your flag shirt. Just do it. I hope to see you next week in Milwaukee, sir. At least he's going. That's different. Nikki Haley, she'll be a no-show at the convention. She released her delegates so she didn't have to go to the party. Come back. It's always a political party up in here. 844-967-2789.
Governor Scott Walker is dead.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join the political party on the political party line. 844-967-2789. Stick around. At 3:30, the bottom of the hour, our pal Scott Ross, Firebrand Gemini, he's going to join us as well. Look forward to catching up with Ross.
Yeah, I'm looking for him now. Where are you at, Scott? I saw him on the street. Scott, I saw him coming down State Street like half an hour, 45 minutes ago. I thought, oh, Scott's coming up early. We'd catch up. Oh, no. Either at the ice cream shop or somewhere off on State Street. Anyways, we'll look forward to seeing him and perhaps we'll even reserve a little time for Walker bashing.
There's always a little bit of time for some Walker bashing.
Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner just saw her on the 5th of July at the Joe Biden rally in a decision released late Wednesday. Again, this was last week. On the eve of the July 4th holiday, Dane County Judge Jacob Frost struck down part of Act 10, the Wisconsin law that ended most collective bargaining rights for most public employees. The law unfairly exempted public safety workers from the limits of unions, Frost ruled. And labor unions representing those classified under law as general public employees argued in the case that the exemption from the law for police, firefighters, and other public safety employees violated equal protection clause of the Wisconsin Constitution. and state agencies and officials responsible for enforcing the challenge provisions of Act 10 filed a motion to dismiss. The state legislature also intervened in the case, arguing for dismissal on the grounds that the 13-year time lapse since Act 10 took effect rendered the lawsuit too late.
Frost, too late. It's too bad. Too late. So I can't do it. No.
Why, it's still an active law, is it not?
Right.
That is the worst argument I've heard recently, Dom. Frost rejected the motions to dismiss. He also ruled that Act 10's division of public employees into public safety and general employee categories lacks a rational basis and therefore violates the Equal Protection Clause because it's based on, and here's the quote from the ruling, Dom, an irrational or arbitrary classification. So if you didn't quite get all that, when Wanker signed Act 10 into law, way back, I mean, that was like what brought us together on the radio, I swear to God, Dom. Right. Way back in 2011, what he did is he treated different classifications differently. And if you were a Walker supporter, you got exempted from Act 10.
See, that's what they don't break it down. Right? Some of those folks that were exempted initially, although they got screwed later, were Walker donors, right? The state police folks and things like that, the safety folks. So some of them were supporters of Scott Walker. They were exempt from Act 10.
A little bit more of the coverage from our pal Ruth Conniff. Act 10, signed by then-Republican Governor Scotty Wanker in 2011, Walker in 2011, triggered historic protests. Oh, yeah, that was quite an uprising. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites descended on the Capitol, and Democratic legislators temporarily fled the state. I remember those crazy days, Dom. Initially, depriving the Republican-controlled legislature of votes needed to pass the law. Couldn't get their quorum. But under Act 10, general public employee unions can only bargain over very base wage increases no greater than inflation. Well, thank God for the Joe Biden inflation these last couple years. Then, right?
Everyone's getting a raise, right?
They must obtain annual approval through recertification elections, meaning the unions, and are prohibited from collecting dues directly from members' paychecks. The law also limits collective bargaining agreements to a one-year term. These are very onerous rules for mm-hmm. someone else's organization. Act 10 also requires general employees to pay full employee-required contributions towards the Wisconsin retirement system and imposed a cap on employer contributions towards health insurance premium for general employees. So certain employees don't get the full benefit of the fringe benefits either. That's why a lot of them went to work for the state, I think, Dom. None of those limits and requirements were applied to public safety employee unions. And reacting to Wednesday's decision, State Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard. Now, Melissa is no longer the minority leader, so that would be Diane Hesselbein. But anyways, in a statement, this ruling confirms that Act 10 created divisions among working people in Wisconsin and reinforces the principle that workers must be treated equally under the law. When I and countless others protested at the Capitol in 2011, we were standing up for those rights, Agard said. While we celebrate this pro-labor ruling tonight, we must not stop until Act 10 is overturned and collective bargaining is restored for all public sector workers. And State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underley, also released a statement reacting to the ruling and tying it to the July 4th holiday. And Scott Walker always used to tie everything to the July 4th holiday. Why do we celebrate the July 4th holiday and not April 15th? Because we celebrate our independence from government and not dependence upon government. I mean, he's got some real wankerisms.
Underley said, Act 10, she said, the right to organize one's co-workers into a union and then collectively bargain is a fundamental American right. It is fitting that we will celebrate the restoration of those rights for many workers on this Independence Day. Act 10 was used to justify massive cuts in school funding that continue to cause challenges to this day. To protect the right of every child to a quality education, now is the perfect time to reinvest in local schools and reinvest in the future of Wisconsin. A Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, a Republican, called the ruling, quote, another example of courts legislating from the bench. Once again, the only way the Democrats can get their way is through activist judges dropping decisions on a holiday weekend when no one's watching. Unfortunately, if this decision stands, it will cost Wisconsin's hardworking families millions of dollars, says LeMahieu. I wonder what he thinks about those activist U.S. Supreme Court judges.
Yeah, he's fine with them. They're on the good team.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So it's only judicial activism when it's ruled against you. Otherwise, it's totally constitutional.
Otherwise, it's lawfare. The Democrats do it. It's lawfare. When we do it, it's righteous legislation. Or litigation, depending on your point of view. Scott Ross, our pal. He's a Gemini. He's a trash texter. He's a friend of ours. He's coming in studio next. You're going to like him. More Devil's Advocates. You can also be a part, especially on the text line right now. I'll read a few. 844-967-2789.
Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Wedensday edition. Can't believe it's hump day. We got a fine guest here in the studio with me, Dom. He is Scott Ross. He's a trash texting Gemini friend of ours. You got a better title? What would you want me to call you?
Keep it coming.
Mr. Ethics, I think.
Mr. Ethics. Exactly.
Scott, welcome back.
Good to see you both. Hey, great, man, to be here.
You too. I don't know if you know, but we were doing a little Walker bashing in your absence. The overturning of Act 10, that's quite bothersome to the former gubernator. He's taking it hard.
Yes. When your goal with a piece of legislation is to, you know, basically hobble and or try to destroy the most powerful political opponents you have, and you are successful in that. Once people are able to finally undo that, as we seem to be on the precipice of course, Walker is going to have a tantrum, you know, because he only sees things in terms of that politics. It's not about what's right. It's not about what's wrong. It's just about what benefited him. It's a signature thing. If he didn't have Act 10, nobody in America would know who that guy was.
Absolutely. Scott Ross, the legal rationale, and, you know, I don't want the liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I don't want them to be accused of playing politics any more than I like what's happening at the U.S. Supreme Court, which clearly seems to be politics. We think that these liberals would certainly, if it goes up, and you know they're going to appeal it, it's going to go up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Maybe you get a favorable ruling. Maybe this stands up. But I would say the underlying legal principles seem sound to overturn this law. This is disparate treatment under law. Why would this be constitutional? And obviously, prior challenges weren't on this principle.
Yeah, exactly. You're preaching to the choir, and I used to have an office a block from here. And I think conversations like this, I'm sorry, me yelling about things like this, you can probably sort of just fairly hear it over the sound of whoever's playing music for money on the corner there. But you know, the fact is that it was completely and totally unconstitutional from the start. You know, when you take people who are the same and you carve off some people because they help you and you lump other people in because they don't help you, it's very clearly that you are selectively targeting certain people. And again, it's a violation of the state constitution's equal protection clause. And the other thing that used to just make me insane was there the standard for recertification for unions. Every single year, the unions have to recertify. Now, in every election in the state of Wisconsin, every single election that is conducted here in the state of Wisconsin to put people in elected office, what's the rule? Majority rules. Whoever shows up to the polls, they vote. Whoever gets the most votes, they win. Scott Walker specifically changed that with this one, you know, the only thing probably, you know, anywhere in the country where it's not just majority rule, but you have to have a majority of every single member, even the people who don't show up to vote. And that's just insane. It is insane. It is so beyond unconstitutional. It's offensive in every single way, you know, to the law. And I remember when this, when we read that provision, we went and looked at my old organization. We went and looked, and there is not a single elected official, partisan elected official in the state of Wisconsin, Republican, who would be in office if that was the standard, except for, I think, old Don White Pridemore. He was the only one who had a majority of the people in his votes because he didn't have an opponent, and they had a big high turnout there. Literally the only one. So it was unconstitutional from day one. And, you know, the fact is that if you look at who was on this, who was, you know, the Republican majority in the Supreme Court at the time, you know, it was just, it was, think about the partisan hackery there. You know, you've got Prosser, who used to be the Assembly Republican Speaker. You know, you've got Ziegler, who hates Democrats with the intensity of a thousand suns because they uncovered that she had decided on 50 cases involving the bank where her husband was on the board of directors, and she received that incredibly unprecedented pardon. You had Rogensack, who was always a partisan hack, who Tommy put on, and then of course rounding up that quartet of you know, is Mike Gableman, the jolly jurist, who, you know, is out there denying the election. You know,
say his name, I got to say corrupt.
Without a doubt. I mean, I remember we proved that he was corrupt. He was doing fundraising out of his calls to get his appointment. He was doing fundraising calls out of his judicial office for Scott McCallum, who then bypassed everyone else and gave Gableman the appointment after Gableman wrote him a $1,250 check to see. Sometimes some things are gone from my brain, but I have remembered these pockets of ridiculousness that have been inflicted upon the people of Wisconsin in violation of both the Constitution and ethics.
Devin LeMahieu says, well, this is just, you know, Dems, the only way can win is legislating from the bench. I mean, you could make the similar argument about the, you know, conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court back then, could you not?
Absolutely. I mean, they have always, listen, the way they ran their campaigns forever was that whoever the liberal candidate is, they're soft on crime and they want to legislate from the bench. They're an activist justice. And the fact is, I mean, just look at the, you know, U.S. Supreme Court, for God's sakes, when you talk about activism. But yeah, definitely here in the state of Wisconsin, it was an activist court that went out of its way for 15 years to do exactly what the Republicans wanted when the Republicans wanted it. It was a corrupt court bought and paid for by WMC, and they did the bidding of WMC and the Republican allies. That's why they bought the court.
Scott Ross, our fine guest, Devil's Advocate's greatest radio show ever. Recall effort of Robin Voss. I've been watching with a certain smirk from afar in this effort, but I've also gone down to Racine County and I've met some of these, but I think Voss would call them more morons and crooks and probably worse. But this effort is being led by no other than Michael Gableman. Gableman is behind the Recall Voss effort, being supported by Donald Trump. And Voss, you know, I don't like the man, but he's probably the most powerful Republican legislative leader in the state, probably in the long time. And they're trying to take this guy out continuously, Scott. It kind of warms the cockles.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple things. One, they're raising money off of it. This is a, you know, it's not like Gableman's employed. You know, he didn't get any judicial appointment under Trump. That's what he was hoping for. He didn't. And now, you know, he's been doing this in the hopes that Trump can get back. But again, he's trying to pay the bills. This is a big, huge grift. I love that it's being
inflicted. Thought about Gableman being on the federal judiciary as a lifetime appointment. He would be,
oh my God,
he would be the next Eileen Cannon, would he not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. He'd be, you know, hideous. But again, they, you know, the thing with Voss is, and, you know, he usually is relatively savvy, but he's also been able to, you know, it's easy to be confident when you have, you know, a 25 seat majority, whatever he had because of the gerrymandered maps.
Better candidates, better ideas.
Yeah, he didn't have to manage any of that. What I love is, I think he actually pulled a Democrat on this one, which is, you know, he caved to some critics rather than, you know, stomping his opponents unmercifully, like they should have been stomped. He, you know, he took on the Gableman thing. You know, he hired Gableman to do that thing, and it has been nothing but disastrous for Voss and us, of course, as taxpayers.
Don't forget $2 million. Janelle Branch and a gavel and supposed subpoena power.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, again, I like that he, you know, hoisted on his own petard, I think, when it came to Voss trying to be too clever and capitulate and, you know, whatever, when he should have just ground them up into stew. Folks, metaphorically.
To the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal, Scott Ross, he's a Gemini. He's a firebrand. He is Mr. Ethics. It's always a blast to catch up with you. So if Scott Walker's Act 10 signature law is being challenged now, what does the executive director of the Young Americas Foundation do? I mean, if this is taken away from him, Scott, what does he rest his laurels on at this point, besides taking grotesque pictures with the former fascist president?
Oh, I've shown Scott. It's here just to distract him.
No. I saw that photo of Walker in that outfit with Trump, and come on. Was that like Trump's like, yeah, I'll think about you being vice president, but you have to wear this shirt in public. You know?
Do you think he's trying to publicly ridicule Scott Walker by making him wear the American flag shirt? Because my conspiracy theory, you know how Trump likes to hump the flag.
Oh, see, now you've taken something ugly and turned it disgusting, Mike, and I will just simply not stand for that. I'll sit here for it.
You can repeat that later if you need to, Scott.
Yes. Scott, the way the Republicans are, you know, coming at this election, you know, we talk about Gableman, we talk about this recall effort to recall Robin Voss because he's not, I don't know, fascist enough. He's not doing enough to unconstitutionally, you know, flip a switch and overturn the election, according to some of these folks. These cats, Berniger and Henry Waite, these are some of the cats that have been the most prolific anti-democratic folks ever. And we had an election here recently up in Glendale, Wisconsin, and these cats showed up and were just causing trouble left and right. I mean, challenging every single absentee ballot, just making asses of themselves. And from my understanding, finally, the police had to come and then they finally left. But it seems like this is going to be the effort from these folks that, as far as I can tell, other than the supercomputer that Berniger apparently, you know, crunched some numbers on and found hundreds of thousands of votes, but he won't tell you how it happened or his process in doing so. They're just going to come and throw everything at the wall up in this next election. What's your sense on how this is going to go?
Well, if you can indulge me for just a moment, you know, to go back to 2010. Back in 2010, my organization came into possession of a tape recording and documents that showed that the Tea Party groups at the time, Reince Priebus, who was then chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party, and the Americans for Prosperity were working on a illegal voter caging exercise. And what that is that's where you mail somebody, you know, you go to high propensity wards, you know, of Democratic voters, and you send them mail that has to be delivered. When that mail comes back as undeliverable, if somebody's moved, then they have people there challenging their residency. So you, again, create long lines at polling places so people go home instead of voting. You have to remember that the central tenet, you know, I know we always think about like disqualifying voters is the only thing that Republicans try to do when it comes to voter suppression. But this thing, this, you know, creating long lines in college towns and in cities where Democratic voters are more, you know, are more likely to be, has been something going back to when William Rehnquist, who, you know, was Reagan's Supreme Court Chief Justice, did this in the 1960s in a project called the Arizona Project. So, like, I think we should be sounding the alarm. You know, the VRA is gone. The Republican-controlled Supreme Court got rid of that federally. I think this is all about voter caging. I think they're going to try do this. I bet they're doing it right now. And I think somebody needs to step in. I don't think our weak, I almost swore, Attorney General Merrick Garland's going to do anything about it. But people should be sounding the alarm, watching for voter caging, because I bet that's what's going on right now.
And just for clarity's sake, Scott, again, that is mailing a letter to your address. If it comes back undeliverable, claiming that you've moved and you're no longer eligible to vote, creating a time delay, if nothing else, when you actually show up, and try to vote and then have to prove and go back and get what, you know, some sort of utility bill, whatever would be required, it creates a hurdle. It creates a time impediment, and it may make it hard for you to vote.
As Samuel L. Jackson said in Pulp Fiction, correctamundo.
Just want to make sure I got that part right. He's got Ross. He's Mr. Ethics. He's a Gemini. Are we still celebrating birthday month? I guess we've turned to July.
We turned that month, but is it
30 days?
Days before and after said birthday? I think it's a new rule, Scott.
I think it's just for June birthday. It's just for us Geminis. There and Flag go. Day birthday, guys.
Especially. Flag Day to Bastille Day, 30 days.
That's you, that's Dom, and that's Trump. He's coming to town next week. You're going to be at the RNC?
I shall. I shall be inside doing some media stuff.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'll be working with PBS Wisconsin.
Don't wear flip-flops because we're going to be outside the tent, PNN.
That sounds fine. I will I will put away all of my thongs I was, you know, thinking about wearing. And I mean the ones that you go on your feet.
Oh, I was going to say, that was a great visual, my man.
Dom, more of a thong and flip-flops guy. More Devil's Advocates, more with our pal Scott Ross on the other side. Stick around for it. I know you will.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates radio show. Scott Ross, our pal, sticking around for at least one segment. Scott, always a pleasure to speak with you, my friend. Welcome back. Before we run out of time, and everyone's talking about the Biden debate and what's Biden going to do and what should he do and what should the Democratic Party do, or the senators and the congressmen, what is everyone thinking? What's your sense as of today, Scott?
I mean, I think it's, you know, waning a little bit, but, you know, the Republicans have every vested interest in keeping that story going, as does, you know, the corporate media, which, you know, exists to ensure that corporate tax breaks stay in place. And having Trump in there, who gave out $2 trillion in corporate tax breaks, you know, having him in there ensures that they continue and get the additional $5 trillion that he's promised in corporate tax breaks and tax breaks for the rich people. You know, again, it comes back to pretty simple things. Biden had a terrible debate. I heard the last 15 minutes. I was doing a cooking class with my wife, which was lovely. Yeah. And the last 15 minutes we listened to on the ride back to the East Side. And it was when they were arguing over golf. And I was like, what is this?
Did you get indigestion, Scott?
What is this? I was like, no. I need time to keep my food down. Like, it was just terrible. But that said, like, you know, Biden's been a great president. He has done, you know, like he said, he's not too old to create 15 million jobs. He's not too old to get 21 million more people health care. He's not too old to get 4.75 million people student loan relief. And he's trying to get 30 million more, you know, like, you know, again, I've been somebody who's been waiting for a Gen X president, but I think we'll have to wait till the next election. You know, it's very clear. I don't think I don't think at this point there's any good to moving forward with, you know, continuing to lambaste Biden for his performance. I mean, he's there, he's with it, you know, he's been doing what he needs to do. And he had a terrible debate. But again, so did Trump. If the measure is what's truthful and not truthful, but, you know,
Scott.
Oh, he had his own mental lapses as well. You look at that transcript, Scott. It was not great, man. I mean, Trump had a terrible debate as well. He was very forceful in some regards when he was pushing his lies, but he also had his own mental skips.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. And there's like, I mean, yeah, anytime he goes out and does his little rallies, you know, there's some folks on Twitter who like do clips of it. And you can see he's incoherent. He just starts, you know, batteries and sharks and, you know, all the other stuff. Like, it's, you know, again,
you know, next week is Shark Week. I think that was purposeful with the RNC being in Milwaukee. I think someone's got to go dump some sharks in Lake Michigan, make him feel unwelcome. Sorry, Scott.
No, that's okay. I was trying to think of a good Shark Week joke, but for whatever reason, I couldn't come up with one. So I defer to your fun on that. But hey, you know, listen, it's, you know, they are coming. you know, next week they're here. And it's going to be an interesting, you know, again, I think, you know, for what it's worth, Trump can't be president without winning Wisconsin. And I can't see what they're going to say at that convention that's going to lure independent voters who Trump desperately has to have in order to win.
Milwaukee's horrible.
I mean, it's, you know, exactly. I mean, starting with that, like, think about the horrible, you know, they're going to be people there who talk about, like, the crime. And the fact is that crime is down. Violent, you know, homicides are down 29% this year, or 16% this year. Serious crimes involving guns, down 29%. Like, Milwaukee's been moving in the right direction. And, you know, I don't think that Milwaukee is going to let Trump get away with what he did.
We got a felon coming, Scott Ross, our friend. Appreciate you joining us. Now, you credentialed. You're going to be inside the bowl. What's your schedule looking like next week, man?
Yeah, I'll be – if I can – I mean, I don't want to, like, plug something out. I'm not plugging another radio station. But I'll be doing a live hit at 2 o'clock every day with PBSWisconsin.org. So, you know, me and Republican, who are regular pundits on there, they're kind enough to take us there to see
you
what
and
we
Bill?
Have to say. Yeah, me and McCoshin. So we'll be there doing that thing.
That'd be a good thing. You wouldn't be our competition at 2 o'clock, so we're okay with
exactly.
that.
Exactly. See, I specifically, they were like, we could do all these things, and I was like, well, could you just, you know, maybe a little earlier?
Not
and,
to three. Yeah. 3 to 6, no, yeah. That's no fly zone, I'm telling you.
Exactly. So there you go.
See? Scott, let me tell you what is frustrating you know what out of me. Donald Trump is a 34-time convicted felon, but these are not the most substantial of the crimes, and I was trying to tell you during the break, this echoes so much of the John Doe. And Scott Walker only survived because he was never charged with the alleged crimes. And I think he certainly committed the crimes. I think there's plenty of evidence, but it was never presented as such. And I think in many ways, by getting out in front of and attacking the prosecution, much like Scott Walker and Eric O'Keefe and so many of the John Doe defendants did, they have effectively delayed this to the point where the American public's never going to hear the evidence against Donald Trump, not the most substantial, not the most criminal, and the most important egregious crimes against the Constitution, and we the people, and we're not going to know. Scott, your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Again, the reason that Walker was never charged is because the 4-member majority of Republicans on the Wisconsin Supreme Court shut down the investigation. They shut down the investigation. Think about that. Have you ever heard of that before?
Burn the evidence!
You know, and this is essentially what the Trump-controlled U.S. Supreme Court is doing with all these cases. They're trying to delay. They've said he's a king. You know, they said presidents are, if he gets back in, presidents are kings. And what is a, you know... The interesting thing is going to be what you determine an official act, you know,
private act.
I guess we'll have to see if paying, you know, stripper, a porn star, hush money while your third wife is, you know, recovering from your fifth child is an official act or not.
Well,
we'll
see
how the Republicans make or how the Republican Supreme Court somehow makes that an official act.
He actually signed the hush money checks in the Oval Office, so that was company time. Yeah. That's an official act, Scott. It's Shark Week next week. It's RNC week. Don't forget, Scott will be doing a hit every day at 2 o'clock with Bill McCoshin, our friends. Scott Ross, thank you so much for coming around. Remember, stay off the beach.
Fabulous to be here.
Stay out of the water. More Devils coming back.